Hello and welcome to Real Geeks. I'm Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery. Who has had a day?
Oh, this movie. I mean, yes, had a day, but also this movie.
What's worse, COVID or Sonic 2?
Do I really get to choose?
Don't worry. In Mike's case, he might have both.
but also, just for the sake of our listeners, just to be clear, I'm saying this more for the joke than anything else.
Yeah, he may not also have COVID, but he may.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, we both have suffered through Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and this is our review covering it. And like, okay, I'll admit I've been kind of hyperbolic about my feelings about this film. It's not that bad. It's not that good. It just is. But I'm really fascinated about why I have those feelings.
Fair.
So I want you to have a normal response to this film, and then I'll start like going neurotic all over the entire episode.
Quick stretch, little snack, and here we go.
Sonic, I love that you want to help make a difference.
Mind if I drive?
But you're being reckless.
Don't worry, nobody's gonna get hurt.
Pretending to be Batman.
Blue Justice, trademark pending.
You're still just a kid.
Woo-hoo!
Trust me, there will come a moment when your powers will be needed. But you don't choose that moment. That moment chooses you.
I just got goosebumps. Wait a second, did you steal that from Oprah?
I mean, like, for those of you who watched our review of the first movie, we know that I was the one who did not like the first movie.
And to be clear, I did and still love it.
Fair. And those of you that are still with us now know that I was not looking forward to this.
And for those who were, I definitely was.
I legitimately wanted to do Ambulance instead of Sonic. I didn't want to go near Sonic at all.
And we will eventually get to Ambulance. It has to be covered.
Yeah.
But considering the fact that we did an episode on Sonic the Hedgehog 1, and that film has a special place in terms of like where it landed going into COVID, what that might mean, and where we are now, and the fact that COVID is still happening, we have been lapped by Sonic the Hedgehog, which is... I mean, that just makes complete sense, you know? I knew that we had to cover it, otherwise eventually someone would come along and ask, where the hell is the episode? Presumably you will have Sonic the Hedgehog 2, or as they call it in French, Sonic the Hedgehog as well.
Well, if that was to happen, my response would have been to launch a Patreon and say, okay, you pay us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take money for watching this film, because I certainly don't want to pay money to have to sit through it again. I was against paying money to sit through it the first time. There's something about it that I just want to hold on to the original magic and fear of, or those early pandemic days. Gosh, we were so young.
Oh, I want to say good times, but they were times.
It's been an interesting couple of years. Anyway, Mike, you were saying.
The best thing that I can say about this movie is I didn't hate it, but at the same time, it wants to be an MCU movie so badly that it really started to get on my nerves.
I absolutely agree.
Knuckles is Drax. Let's not kid ourselves here.
And, like, that's the thing. I did enjoy Idris Elba's performance in it.
Oh, yeah.
But he is just doing Drax. It's entertaining to see him do Drax. I would like to see more Drax from Idris Elba. But it is just Drax, the Destroyer.
And Elva is, he's clearly having a great time voicing the character. I believe Knuckles is getting his own animated streaming series, which Idris Elba is like just downright giddy to do. And
I would not be surprised by that in the least. They did a really good job with the character.
Yeah.
Directed by Jeff Fowler, who directed Sonic 1, and, well, that was a success, so
yeah,
might as well give it to him. Screenplay by Pat Casey, Josh Miller, John Whittington. This is a successful film at the box office, as much as a film can be a success at the box office currently. There will be, as you say, spin-offs, not only a Knuckles feature on Netflix, but, of course, the inevitable Sonic 2, or maybe they'll call it Sonic versus Knuckles, or Sonic and Knuckles, or Super Sonic, who appears in this, or Sonic Adventures, or Sonic Adventures 2, or Sonic Spinball, the movie!
Well, I mean, it's clearly going to be, because they set this up in the Stinger, so for those of you who don't want to know what the Stinger is, you're going to skip ahead maybe 2 minutes, so... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Stinger exists for the sole purpose of, just as the Stinger in the first one existed for the sole purpose of bringing in Tails and causing Sonic fans to lose their minds, this time around, the Stinger exists for the sole purpose of bringing in Shadow and causing the Sonic fans to lose their minds.
So there's a meme going around currently about casting Shadow. And I think it's a delight, but it's also potentially horrifying. John Barenthal. And he just does it 100% grim as shit. Everything around him's so cartoonish. He looks cartoonish as shit. But it's John Barenthal being as super serious as he is when he's Frank Castle.
Well, with the origin, like, that should not work.
Oh, but and yet when you think about it, you're like, oh no. Oh, yes. Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, no.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here like they set up Shadow as this conveniently buried deep in the records, super secret government project from like 50 years ago, which for fuck's sake, really?
Don't worry about it. It's from a retcon that they like. It allowed them to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sonic lives in the real world, kind of, sort of. Plus, there's emerald gem floating island things. And Dr. Eggman has his various floating cities and things. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's fine. There's an entire canonical mega history that we're just not going to tell you, but we're going to, like, barely refer to. It's fine. There's a water creature made of pure chaos that has a really bitching soundtrack done by a metal band. And, oh my god, do you remember that? Oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I am so happy that actually they are going down that route. So, for me, there are two eras of Sonic I actually give a shit about. Maybe three. I'll be generous and say three. The first one that I'm being generous with is that early Sonic, when it was like Tex Avery cartoon and, you know, Chili Dogs and just like the first two games. There's no storyline to this. This is essentially a rodent fights a guy who makes robots. That's it.
Yeah.
The second era, of course, was like the Rebel era, when he became part of that underground resistance to fight the evil dictator, Dr. Robotnik. And there was the whole backstory, and the echidnas all came from like this kind of super advanced Wakandan civilization that was semi-off in a different dimension at this point in time. And I read all of the Archie comics when I was a kid, and I just devoured them.
Fair enough.
And so we have that. And then we have the Sonic Adventures, which I played on Dreamcast, that I purchased a week before they announced they weren't making Dreamcast games anymore. And therefore, my loyalty to it was unfoundly powerful, because I had to prove to myself that I had not just wasted $300. So I am very, very familiar with Sonic Adventures and Sonic Adventures 2, because it is all I played for about a year and a half.
For me, I am not a gamer. I may have seen a few episodes of the Jaleel White Sonic cartoon. That's my entire exposure to Sonic.
That's incredible. So, considering that, and since they're going with the Sonic Adventures canon in this case, I can't believe I'm saying that. What did you think of the world building that they have developed? Namely, Gun and Shadow and all of that
There was world building?
It's technically world building.
There was...
Gun is like the shield. As you were saying, they want to be a Marvel franchise. This is Paramount's Marvel franchise. They have Star Trek. Yes, absolutely. They love and they're in a current wave of loving Star Trek. Every now and then they go in and out of enjoying Star Trek, and then they remember, we like money, and Star Trek makes us money. Anyway, that's a bitch for another time. This is their newfound franchise. They can now raid Sega for pretty much anything they need. They will eventually, and mark my words, this will lead to a Sega cinematic universe in which every Sega property that is kind of generally unique to Sega, or at least better remembered on Sega, will appear fighting alongside Sonic and Tails and Knuckles and of course all of the other characters that were in the games, Amy and the purple fat cat and the robot that tragically dies and is forgotten, and Maria. We're going to get so many films out of this single IP. So yeah, Gun is part of the world building because you better damn well remember it. It's going to come up a lot.
Well, here's the thing, though. That entire segment of the storyline could have been dropped and no one would have noticed.
Yeah, no, that's the same in the games, too, but I've never stopped it before.
One of the biggest things for me is the simple fact that this movie is 2 hours long. There's no reason for that. This should never have gone past 90 minutes.
It definitely is overlong. There are scenes when it should have been pared down. We could have a director's cut of this with all the scenes intact and your 2 hour runtime, but an hour and a half could have suffice. An hour and 45 minutes would have been nice. There was definitely a moment during the film when I realized okay, this is feeling like it's taking too long and dragging, and the scene we are in is overly long unnecessarily, and it was the dance off. Cool premise. Sonic does a dance off. That makes complete sense. His part was so predictable and boring, which felt so weird. I believe this scene represents the entire movie. The bits with Sonic are predictable, boring, cheesy, uninspired. The bits with the human actors, amazing and hilarious. The bits when the Russians, who are intimidating as shit, just start dancing the hell out of those Russian folk dances, and they're going full on. That worked in that scene. That was funny. The kind of scripted Simpsons-y response that you get from Sonic and Tails, and then the Marvel-y response that you get from Knuckles is I could have seen something else for this. And that carries throughout the entire movie. Jim Carrey, of course, is fantastic. James Marsden is, of course, fantastic. And their scenes, when they are just doing their own character drama stuff, is fantastic. I would rather watch a film that is just every other character except Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails and Knuckles.
Oh, well, like with the dance off specifically, I think the interesting thing here is I think we both got to the same place, but from two completely different perspectives. Because you say that that was the moment where you realized the movie was too long. Now, for me, that was the entire wedding subplot. That could have just been lifted right out.
Oh, no, but that was great. It was lovely to see when they wrote James Marsden off, they actually wrote him somewhere else instead of just doing the normal thing and having him die off stage. It was nice to actually see, like, where does James Marsden go when a movie is done with him? Weddings, apparently.
Well, with the wedding, for me, it felt like that was just there to bring his sister-in-law in. Like, somebody at the studio went, oh, people responded well to her in the first movie. We need to give her stuff to do.
And that's definitely another thing that is symbolic of this entire film. There are no chances taken. Every single thing is like, oh, you like that in the last one? Well, here it is. Here it is a little bit more. Here it is a little lazier because, you know, it's no longer novel. And we just had to plug in jokes and like have things occur and be said. The first one had to come up with all of this.
Yeah.
It had to figure out what it wanted to do. It had to figure out how it wanted Sonic to be. It had all of those jokes that they had been thinking of for years, perfected and worked out, and like, okay, that's the voice of Sonic. That's something unique or classic to him he could say. And now, I want to say one in every three lines feels like it was actually considered, and the other two might as well have been from a random 90s generator.
Well, to that specifically, I would say, because this is another thing that was driving me crazy, one of those three lines was a pop culture reference generator.
Correct.
Because from the moment of Sonic going, I'm the hero this city needs and the hero it deserves, I'm just in the theater rolling my eyes just like a full 720 degrees.
Yeah. Like, okay, cool, thanks, great. 2010s jokes that were stale in 2010, I mean.
Yeah. And to just to finish up with the dance sequence, like, you mentioned the lazy and stuff that's just plugged in, and as well as stuff that's, like, stale. For me, the dance sequence was like, well, it's a kids' movie, so, wait for it. Okay, yep, there's the Bruno Mars.
Yep. Like, now, I hate when they decide to plug something a little more recent or modern into a film when you could have gone, like, with some kind of classic. Like, imagine if, say, whatever song was a hit when Sonic 2 came out. I mean, one second. Let's see what we got here.
Sonic. Well, while you're looking that up, another possibility that, like, literally just occurred to me right now is they love working in the fact that Sonic loves baseball. So he needs to pull up a song for a dance contest.
Yeah.
Why not use a dance song that you would hear at a baseball game?
But yeah, in 1992, during the release of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Jump Around by House of Pain was 10th on the Billboard list. They could have just made that reference. It would make the dance off cheesier, which would make it also more bearable, but also kind of like classic and timeless instead of dated and Bruno Marsy.
Or at the very least, just go to someone who's not Bruno Mars.
Or at the very least, go to someone
who's like,
not Bruno Mars.
Minimum.
So once again, Ben Schwartz is back as Sonic the Hedgehog, joined by Colleen O'Shaughnessy. And, of course, as we mentioned before, Idris Elba as Knuckles. And everyone's good in this. Everyone's fine.
Yeah.
Tails is really, really simping hard. I mean, like, it gets awkward a few times.
Oh, it does. But also, on the plus side, is the simple fact that Colleen O'Shaughnessy was the voice of Tails in the original games. And I will always give respect when a production brings back an original actor like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, it really does fit. Like,
yeah,
they can bring back, or they can bring someone like Ben Schwartz to the table for Sonic the Hedgehog, because you kind of expect them to put a named person as the lead. And he has the actual, like, attitude for it. He can do a voice that makes sense for it. You just have a general concept of what his voice is from, like, the cartoons and pop culture. But Colleen's Tails voice is and always was perfect. There's that exact high-pitched innocence that is required for the character. And it just works perfectly. Like, Idris Elba's Knuckles is coming out of nowhere. This is not the character whatsoever. That's not necessarily a complaint, because it's like, yeah, it works on the screen. And it was good for a few chuckles, but you can tell the joke's coming. It's like, oh yeah, no, this is, as you said before, it's just Drax. So here comes a Drax joke.
Like, a lot of the voice casting works. James Marsden, for at least the first act, maybe first act and half of act two, is auditioning to be Uncle Ben a little late, but...
Yeah, I found the shift into reminding us that they're, like, children, technically, or adolescents or something, was really weird and unnecessary. Like, I understand Sonic is a teenager or something, and okay,
yeah,
Miles is gonna be, you know, younger than him. So, okay, Tails is like a child prodigy. But why is Knuckles a teenager? It's so weird. And they're like, he's this great and deadly intergalactic bounty hunter and, like, mercenary and stuff. And it's like, okay, I can believe that if he's, like, in his 20s or 30s or something. He's a kid? What?
Knuckles, I didn't get the sense that he was any kind of a child. But
no.
I think that more comes from the Drax comparison, where he's just this naive, just utterly ignorant in the ways of Earth, alien warrior. So, like, mentally, he kind of still fits in with Sonic and Tails, even though odds are he's the oldest of the three of them.
Right. But, like, I'm fairly certain the film is really clear that he is supposed to be roughly just a little older than Sonic. And that just doesn't work. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
There's something really weird about that. Oh, yes, it's because, when Sonic was really, really young, during the attack that killed his mentor, Knuckles was, like, just a little bit older, like a kid that,
able. Yeah.
Yeah, and Miles, Tails Prowler. Every time I say Miles, it's simply because, like, that's... The name was used more in the comics. Miles was younger than all of them, but they were all children. And so, it just doesn't feel right that they're all kind of, like, at most teenagers. And James Marsden, as you said, is their Uncle Ben.
The entire fishing sequence with Marsden and Sonic specifically, I'm just sitting in the theater like, you just want to actually say, with great power comes great responsibility. You just want to say that so badly. I know it.
Yeah, and either they were told not to attempt to make some kind of, like, parody of it. Or they didn't mention to anyone that they wanted to kind of go for it full on. So you get this half-assed milquetoast leading on thing that doesn't satisfy anyone and doesn't feel like it's natural to Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, Sonic the Hedgehog was not a character that parodied things in pop culture. He was more like a zeitgeist that ran through, like, Bart Simpson. You don't have Sonic the Hedgehog doing parodies. That's Conker. That's Gex. If you want parodies, make a Gex movie. Please. Make a Gex movie. Hollywood. Make a Gex movie.
And then, just for good measure, right after that sequence, right after Marsden has finished giving Sonic this big lecture about responsibility and he needs to be more responsible, they take off for Hawaii and leave Sonic in the house by himself.
Yep, don't make a mess, bye.
Wait, what?
It's a film that has airs, it has potential, it has a vision, a dream. It's kind of a cheap, half-assed dream and vision, but
yeah.
It knew it wanted to be something, and it only did about a third to a half of the work to get there. Which, hey, you know, that's a solid B minus. Half a gold star for you. But it's not a full gold star.
Yeah, no, you still have to be called out.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what this feels like. Like I said before, maybe the way that Sonic the Hedgehog 1 landed such a great surprise at the time, maybe that was just shock from COVID and the weirdness, and it's like, oh my god, the Sonic movie came out regardless. Oh my god, it's not a complete mess like we all assumed it would be. And it kind of got inflated in our memories. I don't know. Well, certainly not your memory, anyway.
No. I mean, with Sonic 1, I probably would have rather have the original animation just to have something terrible that I could laugh at. And it's like, I've got something.
I could not see them making it to a second film, let alone spin-offs and further expected sequels with that damn terrifying thing again. I saw the other day the stand-in that they built
God.
For the actors to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
Its toes are just... the idea of, like, Sonic toes that and its weird proportions that they were like, oh, this is how a runner would actually be proportioned. It's like, okay, but it just looks so wrong. His weird little hands.
Yeah, it really did.
Oh, it's raccoon hands.
But, yeah, like, I think with that original animation, it was almost damned if you do, damned if you don't, because that original version would have appealed to someone like me because it's hilariously bad. But, on the other hand, the Sonic fans would have lost their damn minds. Conversely, and with what they actually did,
yeah,
the Sonic fans love the movie, whereas I'm sitting there going, yeah, there's just nothing here for me.
And that's fair. I mean,
yeah.
I suspect that the people, the good people, the wonderful, sweethearted people at Paramount would rather have a fan base that is not screaming bloody murder at them than someone who's like, you're not going to appear on Mystery Science Theater 3000. You're not. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure that's not something they're going to be concerned too much about. That said, you're absolutely right. These films are pretty damn generic and kind of just boring. Like, there's no inherent charm. Like Paddington.
No.
I was going into this hoping, like, maybe they'll Paddington 2, and it'll be better than the first, and transcendent. But no. It's just references. Awesome.
Yeah, no, like, they're just shotgunning references and I think they wanted to do that Paddington family charm, but they were pulling so much from the MCU. Like, those were Infinity Stones. I'm sorry. Those were Infinity Stones.
They were Infinity Stones. This is very true. However, to be entirely fair, they have always been Infinity Stones. They very much work that way. It's kind of ridiculous, but from the first game, you could collect them and turn into something. And then in the second, I believe they introduced Supersonic, who gets, of course, introduced in this. And then in the comics that, yeah, if you get like 100 rings and then like touch the emeralds or collect all the emeralds, you can become something like reality warping thing. It absolutely is ripped directly from the Infinity Gems, because I believe, if I recall, they first appeared in the comic, the Sonic comic from Archie Comics way back in the early 90s, as a parody reference. Like, the villain was parody referencing the Infinity Gems, and then like Sonic goofily beat them.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, but that's canon now. So they very much are the Infinity Stones, but it's not just a direct reference to the movie Infinity Stones. It's a direct reference to the old nerdy Infinity Gems. So it's at least valid nerdity.
Well, like, fair enough. But the problem is that as someone who has never played the games, never read the comics or anything like that,
yeah,
I didn't get that at all. So what I would have rather that they had done, like take out the wedding entirely, mm-hmm. and if you have to have a 2-hour movie, like, build up that mythology a little bit, use that extra half hour or whatever you gain from taking out the wedding to build up the backstory to those gems a little bit more. Like, why do you have a bunch of little gems stuck inside a big gem?
It's from the game, and yeah, if you shatter the big emerald gem, they turn into various other emerald gems, which are not all emerald. Listen, and it causes an island to float, and Knuckles is the guardian of both the gem and that island, and that island is a part of the old Echidna homeworld, which was transported to a negative verse, and that Echidna homeworld is like Wakanda in the Echidna's. Anyway. what I'm saying is, I absolutely agree. They could have taken out the wedding and filled it with a ton of backstory and canon. Because that backstory and canon is there, and they are somewhat alluding to it, that we've been introduced to Echidna society, and it is generally, you know, like, it's a little more tribal than expected, but that he's like an intergalactic traveler, I'm sure, means that they have technology and whatnot, and it's, they can retcon whatever they need as they need, and they will, and how. Like, for instance, maybe Jim Carrey's not coming back as Dr. Robotnik. I'll have to do something about that.
Oh, no. I would honestly say he'll be back, because 2 movies in, they still haven't bothered to build an actual character. It's just...
Oh Ivo here, Robotnik here, gets no further character. Yeah, no, this is his character. He builds giant robots in an attempt to kill Sonic the Hedgehog. That's always been his character.
Well, what I'm saying by that is that in both 1 and 2, Robotnik is not an actual character. They just, all it is to hand Jim Carrey these lines and just go, listen, as long as you say these things when we need you to, we don't give a shit what you do. And as a viewer, that's god awful. But at the same time, if I'm Jim Carrey, I would absolutely 1000% take that offer.
I absolutely would as well. It would be really, really stupid not to, quite frankly.
Exactly.
That, and personally, I'm not going to rest until I see his giant egg-shaped Death Star fortress that has his face built in onto the front of it. I need to see that. Now that we've reached him making that giant mech to fight a tiny little hedgehog, Dr. Robotnik's not someone who is known for sense or scale.
You mean the giant Hulkbuster armor?
Yes, yes. You know it.
Because that's
you know
what it. That was.
There is a Death Star station coming that will inevitably be crashed into the floating island that Knuckles protects. And I just want to see that giant Jim Carrey-faced Death Star slam into an island. And also Mechasonic. We have not yet gotten Mechasonic. He can't leave until he builds Mechasonic, because Jim Carrey has gone his entire life without doing a Dr. Frankenstein. And you know it. You know he would be amazing screaming,
oh, yeah.
It's
oh, yeah.
Alive, alive. If he's going to retire from acting, if he's seriously going to leave, we need this first. It is his tax for leaving. You don't get to leave until you've paid. I want my Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And to be perfectly honest, the way he was just cackling utterly random lines, I'm surprised that he didn't do that here.
Yeah, I'm actually quite shocked. I had to go look it up because you never know with these kind of things. A lot of that was written, so I presume there's also a lot of cutting room floor with Jim Carrey just going on and on and on and on.
Oh, no doubt.
It seemed absolutely nonsensical. But a lot of that was scripted. It's just, okay, you've decided that the character of Dr. Robotnik is just unhinged. And that's it. Every dialogue approach is, what would someone who is hilariously unhinged to say? And then you go from there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's that conundrum of what's written is terrible. What's performed, if you enjoyed it, I can totally see why. Everything with Wade, the idiot deputy sheriff, and Robotnik's assistant, Agent Stone, also could have just been completely taken out.
I still like Agent Stone. I'm not a fan of Wade. I forgot Wade existed, and so when they reintroduced Wade, I was like, who the fuck, what the fuck is happening? Why are we, no, oh, right, he's got a bumbling idiot friend. Oh, no. However, I like Stone because, at least in the comics and the Resistance cartoon, Robotnik always had a Smithers. I believe the character was called Snively, and it was his nephew in the comics and the cartoon, and he needs someone to monologue to. That's the truth. Like, you can him monologue to himself, absolutely, and you know he can just go on off. But it's better to have someone reacting to someone like Dr. Robotnik just ranting and raving.
Oh yeah, no, like Agent Stone himself was great. He worked in that role just fine. Mm. It's just that one sequence with him and Wade, you could take that out, and again, I don't think anyone would notice.
Oh, no one would whatsoever, because Wade is superfluous there. The problem is not Stone. Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters in this that are meant to be, like, memorable, comedic characters, you know, something kind of lovable and charming that just becomes really annoying and distracting. Get back to the film. And I say that as someone who enjoyed the James Marsden wedding bits, because I enjoy watching James Marsden.
Yeah, no, like, at the end of the day, like, a lot of the people that were in this movie, it seemed just like I said earlier, they're just there because someone at the studio went, the audience responded to these characters in the first movie. We need to work them in again. And that's just, like, it.
It really just feels like a lazier version of the first one. And that's kind of really sad. Yeah, Actually, that would lead personally directly into my concluding review for it. I sentence this film to be chased by the sound that Sonic games make when Sonic is drowning in a water level to make it pick its feet up and get its ass back in gear.
Yeah, for me, quite frankly, I yesterday went back and watched the tail end of our review of the first movie just to see what I'd said for the rating on that one.
Mm.
And with this, there is nothing new here to such a degree. Like, there are things that I respect. Like I said, bringing Colleen O'Shaughnessy in and letting her voice Tails again. I respect that to the same degree that I respect the Transformers franchise for having let Susan Blue voice RC for like 30 years. And Idris Elba seems like he's legitimately having fun here.
And to be fair, Idris Elba seems to be legitimately having fun in everything, even if it's bad. So I think the guy just enjoys his work and his life.
Oh yeah,
even if you watch Hot Ones and you're seeing him suffer, it's like, would he rather be anywhere else than right here, right now, burning his mouth off? No, because I think Idris Elba enjoys being Idris Elba.
even in the Sonic segments for the Cineplex pre-show, he's the one. Like, everybody else looks like they're just reading off cue cards.
Yeah.
Idris Elba looks legitimately happy to be there.
Like, I suspect that man is the biggest fucking nerd on Earth.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But overall, with the movie, like I said, there is nothing new here to such a degree that you could take the audio from what I rated the first movie, plunk it down right here, and it would still work. I would literally have the exact same points. I would give it the exact same rating. There's just, if you're not a Sonic fan, there's just nothing here. Like at the end of the day, just try.
Yeah, all you have to do is just try. Give it another pass. Do better jokes. Don't do the obvious presumable joke of, oh god, here it comes, it's a children's show, so obviously they're going to have some kind of sappy shit. Yeah, fine, have your sappy shit, but at least write it so well that it layers, or don't do the sappy shit and kind of do something smart.
You just reminded me of my one last thing with jokes, because I would like to say to Sonic's writers, there's a thing in comedy called the rule of three. You do a joke three times. Just three times. They did the, well, I hope this thing doesn't happen, and then that thing immediately happens at least 15 times.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. It became like a crutch. And I suspect that was actually leftover fragments of, like, the scaffolding of how they wrote this screenplay. And you didn't see it in the last one, but it feels like screenplay scaffolding, where it's like, okay, yeah, what happens next? And it's like, okay, cool, but you're not supposed to actually ask that in the dialogue. You're supposed to ask that of yourself and then write it happening and then write organic dialogue of the characters reacting to it.
Yeah, because, like, it was literally, I rolled my eyes at that maybe three times, and then I'm sitting there in the theater going, somebody said something. I'm going, 3, 2, 1, there it is.
Yeah. Good comedy has timing, but you shouldn't be able to time good comedy.
Like, precisely.
Okay, yeah. Wait. In 3 seconds, we're going to hit the punchline, and it's going to be this punchline because it's the same goddamn joke that got told, you know, 80 other in 80 other cheap children's films.
Yeah, like, you remember in our last episode of the B-roll when we were talking about Full House, and mentioned watching at my friend's place, and I was, like, predicting all the jokes? Yep. That's exactly what I started doing here.
And you could see it. It's,
yeah, oh yeah.
It's, yeah, no, this feels like later Simpsons, when personally the first one at least felt like a smarter later Simpsons making fun of the early Simpsons. Certainly not an early Simpsons itself, but hey, decently Bartastic.
Yeah, like, that's something that I should not be doing with material that I'm seeing for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they... lessons might be learned, but they probably won't be.
Oh, probably not, but I mean, certainly we can hope. We can goddamn hope.
Thank you so much for listening to Real Geeks. I have been Crash and Burn. With me, as always, has been Mike Montgomery.
And to follow up from the introduction, I mean, I have no idea if this will still be in there, but my COVID test was negative, so I'm safe.
Negative COVID test, not the COVID. Like, share, and subscribe to celebrate us not having the COVID. Please check us out on YouTube at Geeks vs. Nerds, and check us out wherever great podcasts are streamed, because we'll sneak in there and steal their wallets.
And if you feel the need to contact us and tell us all the ways that I am wrong in everything I said about this movie, feel free to drop us a line at realgeekshfx@gmail.com, because I have no problem being called out.
Give him shit. Give him shit. Give him shit. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you on Friday for the B-roll. Yay. All right. Good night.
See ya!